You have found the Runaround Iowa, the podcast that's dedicated to interviews with the athletes, coaches, and personalities who are making headlines in college cross country and track and field, professional road running, triathlon, and trail running in the state of Iowa. And now from the home office in Clive, here is your host, Lance Bergeson.
My guest was a two-time All-American for Dorton University in cross country. And he was also Great Plains Athletic Conference cross-country champion as a freshman in 2018, while the next year he finished runner-up as a sophomore. And his final cross-country season at the school in Sioux Center, he finished 23rd nationally in Tallahassee, Florida, to help the Defenders win the first NAIA national team title in any sport in school history. In track, he was a freshman year. He was eighth in the indoors 5,000 at the NAIA national meet. As junior year, he anchored the All-American DMR squad. And all in all, he was a six-time Great Plains Athletic champion in track while earning national runner-up in the 3,000 steeplechase outdoors his senior year. Now he is a fitness sports distance project athlete who finished second on the team at the recent Shamrock Shuffle in Chicago to help the fitness sports team finish fourth in the men's team race. Welcome to the program, Eric Steiger. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Lance. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for coming on such short notice here. I messaged you just the other day after your fantastic win at Loop the Lake on Saturday, and here we are recording it on Wednesday. You've been racing a lot here for the fitness sports team, been very busy here, and I saw firsthand how great of a race that was, that 8K race. Anytime you can beat Austin O'Brien in a race, hold off his kick, in my book, is really quite a special performance there. It had to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, you were there, you know, it was a perfect day to be out for a race, and the competition that showed up was really good. And you're right, Austin Bryan has no joke of a kick. He was coming on pretty fast at the end there, but thankfully I was able to hold him off that last, like, 200.
Yeah, you're basically just holding that 1 second gap, and then Sam Pankowski was third, another second back. It was really quality field there. You've, like I said, you've done a lot of racing this season. Did that kind of help you? You've run at Brookings, South Dakota. I mentioned the Shamrock Shuffle in Chicago. I think you've run at Brookings a couple times for indoor season. That kind of helped you race sharpness in an event like that?
Yeah, sure did. I mean, like, I did two races this winter indoor. I did a 5K and a 3K. And then, yeah, I did the Shamrock Shuffle. That was kind of my first road race and first race with the fitness sports team. And then I did a 1500 for fun. And then, yeah, doing this Loop the Lake. So I've been trying to take advantage of just getting some races and having fun. It's a nice way to keep training fresh, and obviously it allows me to get some other benefits in training as well, but it's more than anything, it's just trying to have fun and enjoy the sport and enjoy the spring, hopefully getting some more races.
Okay. So was that a new PR for you Saturday for that 8K?
No, actually Shamrock, I ran a bit faster. So I ran 24 flat at Shamrock. That would be a PR. At the national championship in Tallahassee, I ran 24:40. Obviously, a little bit different running on roads versus on a cross country course with some hills. But yeah, I'll take a PR.
Right. Okay. I wasn't sure, and could not find from World Athletics an accurate 8K best for you there. So yeah, 24 flat you ran there. Tell me about that Shamrock Shuffle. Is that kind of the first time you really done anything like that where you've been on the roads, done a team event there?
Oh, 100%. I mean, the last time I did anything even remotely similar, I probably was maybe in high school or something doing just a fun 5K. Nothing to the scale or the intensity or just even the level of fun that Shamrock was. it was shocking to me just being in that corral, the elite corral, and how many people were there body to body. And even when the race goes off, I mean, it was a constant stream of people to go run down and chase. So something I hadn't done before, but something I'm really looking forward to doing more of. It was super fun. Great energy, great people to run with. It was, yeah, it was awesome.
Okay. Now, I believe you're in Iowa, right? You're living in Iowa?
Yep.
Are you in Sioux Center?
Yep, live in Sioux Center.
Okay, you see, you haven't left the Dort shadow here.
Nope. Showed up the door and somehow, Iowa transplant.
What keeps you in Iowa other than the great Dutch food up there?
I came here and built a really nice community. I have some great friends that live around here. I'm married with my wife here. I've got a great job working for Pella Corporation here. A lot of good things going on in Northwest Iowa. It's quiet. It's a nice town. And, yeah, no reason to move yet. So I'm pretty happy where we're at.
Did you put your engineering mechanical background to use then with your job then?
You betcha. Yep. So I'm working as a manufacturing engineer for Pella.
Okay. Gotcha. Great. Okay. You've been there about a year?
Yep. Year and a half now.
Year and a half. Okay. All right. So liking that. Do you train on your own? Do you try to find time to latch on to some of your ex-teammates, show up?
Yeah. No. Coach
Wolf still welcome you back?
Yeah. I try and mooch off of their workouts once in a while, but just about all my training is solo right now.
Sure.
There's been a couple times this winter where I linked up with some Dort guys for some indoor workouts. They're so busy with all the races just about every weekend. And our schedules obviously don't line up during the actual day. I'm either running really early in the morning or pretty late at night. And obviously they've got their team practices. So if I can catch them on wrong, I like to. If I see them run in town, I'll go and join them. But otherwise, I do pretty much everything solo.
Okay. When do you find time to get your workouts in then?
Whenever I can. The training I've been doing recently, I've been leaning on doubles pretty heavily to try and get some mileage in. So I'll usually, most weekdays, I'll be waking up around 5 o'clock in the morning. I'll come back and double back. Usually starting around 5:30, 6 o'clock or so in the evening. So it keeps the days pretty full.
Yeah, I'll bet. So do you have any big goals here planned for the 2024? Do you want to stick to the track here? Want to fire off a good 1500?
Yeah. The whole idea behind this year for me is just trying to have fun with it. This is my first year on the Iowa road scene, and just trying to see what that has to offer, what the fun parts of it is. Last year, I didn't run for the whole year because of basically an injury. I didn't start running until this past August. So everything that I've had has really just been gravy. I mean, it's been fun to be back, and I'm just trying to enjoy it. That's why I'm trying to do a little bit more racing than what maybe some of the other guys do, just because it really is fun for me and just trying to see what I like. So I did a couple shorter things already this winter and spring with that 1500 and 3K. I think the rest of my year is going to probably be looking a little bit longer distances. So stuff like 10Ks up to half marathons.
Okay. Do you have any specific A race that you're targeting? I put A in quote here.
Yeah, yeah. I think most coaches would be disappointed to realize that I have no great direction with my training. I'm just kind of training and just racing through it. So I'm fingers crossed. I'm hoping I can get into the Drake 10K next week. So entries haven't come out for that quite yet. It's supposed to come out tomorrow morning. I'm backing off mileage a bit this week in anticipation of hopefully being able to run that. If not, I'll try and jump in the Grand Blue Mile and put in a good effort there. But that Drake 10K, if I can get in, that would be kind of a priority race for me. But
that'd be sweet.
Beyond that, it's going to be just trying to discover what races I enjoy doing the most.
Did you give him your Shamrock time for that?
Saying, hey, I figured that was my. What I've done, it's the only good recent mark I've got.
That's really good though. 24. So, yeah, I hope you get in. That'd be great to interview you Thursday night. I'll be there at the relays.
That'd be awesome. 3 days. Fingers crossed.
I know somebody who you can run with. In Sioux Center, that's Jen Van Otterloo. She's up there, former Dork great. Yeah,
I'm not sure. I haven't confirmed it yet, but I've seen someone running in a bright pink jacket in the mornings, and I think it's her. But I haven't had the courage to ask. So,
you should try to make connections with her on some of those long runs because she's longer run there up there.
Yeah, seems like she's been pretty successful too. I believe she was Olympic trials qualifier at Fire, correct?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Did you have kind of an inclination going into that Shamrock Shuffle that things were going to really go your way? Just kind of feed off of Cody Bailey, your new teammate, just kind of run with him as long as you could? What was the strategy there in getting that new PR?
Yeah, I wish I could say I lashed on him as long as I could, but that guy took off like a bullet immediately. Yeah. And he was long gone before I hardly got off the line, so... I've honestly, this training block I've had, I've been really healthy since coming off my injury this fall, and I've gotten into great fitness. I've been trying something a little bit different in my training. I've been able to hit higher mileage than what I've been able to hit before and still stay healthy. So I feel like I'm in very good shape just from workouts I've been doing and just having some confidence. So I wasn't too afraid just to go put myself out there in that race. Started out pretty conservatively and just kind of let it roll from there, kind of move through the field the rest of the time, just to give myself that, I guess, that little safety buffer just in case I was less fit than what I thought. But, it turned out pretty well.
So is Lindsay Andrews with Fitness Sports, is she your coach or are you self-coached here?
Self-coached right now. Got some people like – Coach Wolf and Joe Anderson, I bounce ideas off them pretty frequently, and so they've been a good source of advice for me as putting together training. But right now, it's mostly self-coached.
Okay. So, what was the injury that you had last summer that kind of derailed you there for a while?
Yeah, I had hamstring tendinopathy. I'd gotten it actually during the cross country season when we won the national championship, and I was able to manage it through all of that. Then took a break after that season and tried getting back into running again. And then it just kind of exploded in my face. And so I spent probably about 9 months. I had about 5 different attempts at returning to run and worked with a couple different physical therapists and wasn't able to quite get anything to click. Then I connected with someone else who had something, who was able to properly diagnose it right away because she had it before. And she gave me some advice what to do. And it kind of was the ticket and got me healthy again. And the rest has been history, I guess.
What'd you end up doing? And for people who struggle with hamstring issues?
For me, the key was heavy, heavy deadlifting. So I know a lot of distance runners get scared of big weights in the racks, but it was actually a matter of showing up and putting some plates on a bar and doing true deadlifting that way. So the hamstrings don't like to be idle, and they sure like to be loaded, especially with the tendinopathy. It's the most important thing is to load it really, really heavy, because running is, you're putting, I forget what it is, but like 2.5 times your body weight or something like that. Don't quote me on that, but it's a lot of your body weight when you're running. So you have to have something to kind of recreate that.
Okay. Well, next week, I guess I'm hitting the weights then.
There you go.
I'm hitting the hamstring machines then at my gym. So there you go.
Perfect.
Yeah. Can't neglect those. That's for sure.
Nope.
Hamstrings are generally, kind of a sprinter's injury most of the time, right? I mean, that had to be a little bit Unusual for you.
Yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure I know what it was. I had just gone through a great summer of training. I was up at 100 miles a week, and then I was out in Washington at the time where my family lives. And then me and my wife were going to go drive out to Iowa. And yeah, we did that trip in 24 hours, and all that driving while running 100 miles a week was kind of an absolute disaster. So next time I do a big road trip like that, I will not be trying to run 100 miles a week at the same time.
And you weren't using cruise control the whole time, right?
Yep.
The foot on the pedal too much? Is that what the deal is?
Could have been either. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So going back to this weight, and you're kind of a tall guy here. How tall are you and how much do you weigh?
Yeah, I'm 6'1", about 155. So kind of a, I don't know, probably more your typical half marathon, marathon build. So I haven't really raced those distances, but I figure I got the build, and my strengths and training have kind of been in that area. So yeah, excited to try those out eventually.
Yeah, because you definitely stood out Saturday's race. I mean, you definitely.
Yeah, looking at the pictures, I was shocked how much taller. I didn't feel that much taller than everyone else, but
definitely, you were definitely the tallest guy. Yeah, you were. Just, you definitely stood out. Yeah. So how much weight were you doing then? How much with that hamstring? How much?
I was deadlifting about. I got to remember. I think it was 200. So it wasn't like. Much more than body weight, but yeah, it was a little bit more. That was enough for me. My arms were the ones that were given out at that point. I don't have that great strong of arms like most distance runners probably have, but
right. Well, you mentioned a couple things you mentioned there. You went out to Washington. You're from Linden, Washington. Mm-hmm. Which my research, I did a little research before I came on this show with you, and you're almost Canadian here. I mean, this is 5 miles from the Canadian border here.
Yeah,
is where Linden is. It's close.
We'd go on runs in high school training for cross country. We'd actually go run to a road that is right along the border. And there's another road that's just across like a ditch. That's the Canadian road. And so it's just you on this road with a ditch between you and the Canadian runners on the other side. And so that was always kind of fun. Mm. I never did it myself or never saw any of my teammates do it, but we had some, heard some stories of guys before us that would jump across the ditch and then quick jump back. And then, sure enough, within the next 5-10 minutes, a Border Patrol car would come rolling past and just check out what the runners are doing. So, yeah, but we're nestled. Linden was nestled in the northwest corner of the country. Like you said, about 5-10 minutes from the Canadian border and then about 20 minutes from the ocean. So really was a cool place to grow up and area. And yeah, but ended up in Sioux Center, ended up in Iowa. Can't believe it.
And it's a big enough town, you know, 15,000 people that, you know, there's probably enough to do there a little bit. How often did you go across the, across to Canada for something?
Not too often. I mean, probably go over once or twice a year, maybe. We had access to everything we needed down in the States. There is a town that's pretty big, Bellingham, Washington, about 20 minutes south. So they had pretty much everything that Linden did. And even then, like in Washington, 15,000 felt like a pretty small town, let alone come out here and Sioux Center with 7,000 is bigger than most of the towns around it. But
So I ask this about everybody where I've, you know, I think you've got to be my first guest from Washington State here. What's kind of the claim to fame to Linden here?
See if
you know from, I'm looking right at Wikipedia here and finding out a couple of interesting facts about Linden.
Yeah, my guess is it's going to talk about the Dutch heritage. And the other one is it's going to talk about berry production, so raspberries and blueberries and strawberries.
Ooh. Okay, they're big in there, huh?
Yeah, so I believe
a cooler climate there.
Yeah,
cooler climate.
We have good sandy soil for it too, but I believe, but at least when I was back in high school, Whatcom County was the largest per capita grower of raspberries in the world. There was one other area in Chile that was, I think, close competition, but I worked a lot of years in the berry fields.
Oh, bad. Yeah. We have cornfields that we did detasseling. You've got raspberries. And exactly. You have a raspberry festival. You have a raspberry festival in July.
Yep.
I'm sure you went to that many times. How many times did you win the road race for that? Did they have a road race?
I only was able to do that road race one time because all the other times I was busy actually working out in the raspberry fields. So
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Well, I mean, there's apparently on the negative side here, in 2005, there was a drug smuggling tunnel discovered in Linden.
Yeah. Is so a little bit, north of town, there is this, house kind of out in the country over by the Canadian border. Turns out that smugglers had dug a tunnel all the way under it to some greenhouse in Canada for smuggling drugs. But the best part is, the Border Patrol knew that they were making this tunnel. And they waited until they finished it. And as soon as they finished it, they arrested them and then
they got them.
Filled it with concrete. So, or yeah.
He let them do all the work.
I know. Kind of brutal to put them through that and then arrest them. But I guess probably has something to do with proving that they're actually building a tunnel or something. But still kind of funny.
Yeah. Canadian Mounties, they're pretty smart, aren't they? Yeah,
they don't mess around.
You can't get one over on them, that's for sure. Yeah. And it's also, well, for Republicans who are listening to this, this is when Donald Trump visited the city here first
that's true.
He was the first presidential nominee to come to Linden in May 2016. I don't know if you helped him get elected,
but. Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I didn't make it to that, but it was all the buzz, yeah. That's for sure.
It was a big deal, so.
Yeah.
Okay. So, did you meet your wife then at Dort when you came to Sioux Center?
Is that, I did. So, we had met my freshman year, and we were friends for a few years, and then we started dating. This is going to be bad. Probably my junior or senior year. I'm not sure which, but somewhere in there, we started dating, and then, we got married this past August.
Okay. Did you meet through track team, cross country, or outside of that?
Yeah, no, we met through track mostly. So she was a really good high jumper for Dort. She's also a really good volleyball player. She does not like running, though. She probably could have been a good runner if she had enjoyed it, but did not like running.
Okay. What's her name?
Sarah DeHaan.
Sarah DeHaan, yeah, good Dutch name there. Really good. Yeah.
that's what happens when you go to Dort, is you get connected with other Dutch people, ironically, but unironically, I should say.
I think I saw her at the race Saturday.
Yep.
She's really tall, dark haired.
Yep, you know. You got it. That's it.
Yeah. I thought I saw her, so.
Yeah.
Man, I'm pretty sure that's Eric's wife, but I don't want to. I don't want to act weird.
Just look at all those people.
Introduce myself. Me wrong. So, but I thought I was right. So, how'd you end up at Dort then? How'd you choose that? Several states away from Washington.
Yeah. So I've got family connections out here. Aunt, uncle, and cousins that live in Hull, which is a small town about 10 minutes away. My sister and brother-in-law also live real close by, and they've got four boys. So it was pretty good pull to, I wanted to be involved in their lives a little bit and be able to see them. And but more than that, I mean, Dort had everything I was looking for. Great, small Christian school with a good engineering program, and really liked the team, really liked Coach Wolf. I mean, he was the one who definitely sold me on the program and sold me on going to Dort, and I'm really thankful that I did. But yeah, my parents also graduated from Dort, so definitely family connections made a big difference there.
Okay. All right. Are your parents from Iowa, or did they just happen to attend Dort?
So my mom's from Pella, Iowa, but my dad's from Linden originally.
Okay. So there you go. Okay. And the Dort distance runners, I mean, for years, you guys have dominated the GPAC. I mean, it's been, you know, one year after another, winning those conference titles. Talk about just the program that Coach Wolf's built, just the atmosphere there.
Yeah, no, it's the Dort program is probably one of the things I'm most proud of, part of my college career. And it wasn't me that built it. And that's what I'm not what I'm trying to say, but, being a part of that was something that's really special. So, Dort, yeah, Dort's kind of a powerhouse in GPAC right now. It wasn't always that way. When I first came in, my freshman year, we hadn't won conference title for a number of years. There was a crew back with like Sam Wensing and Caleb Drake. They were pretty good. But since then, it hadn't been awesome. Our upperclassmen just didn't really care about the sport. They're kind of going through the motions. And really what happened is Coach Wolf orchestrated kind of getting a core group of guys together that are passionate about running, passionate about why we were doing it. And yeah, he got us all in together as freshmen. And that kind of started this journey of kind of having, yeah, just a group of guys that loved going through this like journey together and building a culture that other people wanted to be a part of and wanted to be successful in. So having kind of this core of excellence that was attractive to guys who maybe otherwise wouldn't be interested in really committing to this running thing. And so, yeah, it was, I mean, we had 3 years of just training hard, working hard, maybe not getting the results we wanted at nationals. Well, 4 years of that, I should say. And then it wasn't until that fifth year when things just clicked and we knew we were a team that could contend for a national championship. And to actually be able to pull it off was pretty special. But I mean, there was a great group of guys that like all really committed to this vision of, yeah, being serious about what we could do as a team and what it looked like to run for each other. And yeah, Joe Anderson, David Steben, Nick Veldhorst, Ethan Summerhays, Aiden Forster, Trey Engen, all those guys were big parts of that. And it really wasn't until that fifth year, I think everyone finally really bought in on this idea of, you know, we're not running for our own, you know, personal ambitions of All-American or whatever. Like, we're going to go in and run this thing as a team and run this thing as a team as well as we can. And I think our race at the national championship really exhibited that. And I don't know if you watch the video or see pictures of it, you'll see guys packed up together, guys encouraging each other through the race. Yeah, it really truly was a team effort to win that national championship. We really, I mean, it's not pulling from the front, it's pushing from the back, and the depth of our pack is the only reason we're able to win.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you had to knock off the number one team. That was Milligan, Tennessee, and you did it by 18 points. Mm-hmm. At Apalachee Regional Park. That's well, a lot of people who've watched the NCAA meet know what that looks like in Tallahassee. But yeah, Joe was your leader, but you had four guys run under 25 minutes that day. So,
yep, our spread wasn't. Yeah, we had a pretty tight spread there, and yeah, I mean, Joe had a great year and he had a great race, and definitely was a leader for our team.
But you talk about the depth. Before we've started recording this, you said that was there three guys at the finish of that GPAC cross country meet? They all came right together.
Yep.
And then you guys gave Joe the title. Is that what happened?
Yep, that's exactly what happened. So, yeah, it was my fifth year, Joe's senior year, Davis's fifth year. We kind of just went out for the conference meet, and we had decided beforehand that we weren't going to race each other for it. We were going to finish it together. And then me and Davis agreed that Joe Anderson should take the win. Both he and I have won conference championships before. And Joe Anderson was clearly the number one runner on our team that year, but he had gotten sick a couple days before. And he was like very, very sick. But he stayed in a hotel room with his dad, so he didn't get any of us sick, and he showed up to the race, and He gutted it out, and he really had to dig deep and gut it out for that race. But he was very well deserving of the win. And it was cool to be able to finish that as a crew of three. I mean, those guys, those two guys are my best friends. It was a really, really special moment to end that together. And I got to be a little careful because Ethan Summerhays actually came in fourth. He didn't make it in the top pack of three because we weren't sure. He was a little bit too close to the competition behind, and we didn't want to risk getting outkicked by someone from Concordia or something. So he got left in the dust a little bit, but he also ran great and deserving of a conference championship.
I see. Yeah. So that, And where was that meet at again?
That's in Jamestown. So very far away, okay. Jamestown, North Dakota.
It's probably as far as you guys have ran other than NAIA national meets, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Tell me about that weekend in Tallahassee when it all came together.
Mm-hmm. It was a great weekend. We just had a lot of fun together. It wasn't this hyper fixation on ultimate performance. Like what we have found is just having a good time, enjoying the company of each other and joking around and not taking ourselves too seriously is really what gives us the most success. And once again, all those guys are such close friends that this was, it was just a treat for the weekend. Come the race, though, everyone was game faces on and ready to go. And we had talked through our plan pretty well of how we're going to run this as a team. And we had everything went according to plan. And the part that pushed us over the edge was Peter Shippey coming from way back and finishing super high. And obviously, if you follow NAI stuff at all, Peter Shippey has become just a force of nature out there racing. He's one of those guys that I didn't mention before when I was talking about culture, and that was just because I forgot. But he was he was not on the top seven by any means when he was a freshman or sophomore. He was just kind of a okay runner, and he's one of those guys that really bought in, put in absolute ton of work just in the summers, every single workout. He would just push himself so much, and it really came to pay off. And he's the guy who really sealed the deal in the national championship for us.
Yeah. Joe, and Trey really marveled about his, about his willpower that he has, when he won that steeplechase NAIA national title, just that kind of, intensity that he had. He must have a great finishing kick.
He is not a guy you want to be next to with, like, anywhere. No. Like, if you can even remotely see the finish line, you do not want to be anywhere near that guy because he puts on just a fierce final 400. But, he's one of those guys that, he digs deep. He gets every ounce of effort out of his body, and all power to him. He knows how to race well.
Like Trey and Joe, he's another former Iowa prep. Yep. He must be injured or something this year. I just haven't seen his name pop up as much.
He's been struggling with a few different injuries. He's actually got a broken elbow right now. He got taken out by a steeple barrier, unfortunately. But it's a short recovery, and I'm sure he'll be back. And once again, he's one of those guys that no matter what adversity he's faced, he's going to still race well at Nationals.
Let's hope he gets healthy by then. Well, you were, like I mentioned at the top, you were a national runner-up in the 3,000 steeplechase. Was that your best race of your Dort career there? Or was it the cross-country meet where you won the title?
Both those ones are up there. I don't know what one I would – say, I think the team one definitely meant more to me than the individual runner-up finish, but that probably wasn't one of my best races I had. I had strung together a really good, healthy block of training, and it was the first time I was able to really get it to click at a national championship and feel like I was there to compete and not just to survive and try and snag an All-American. So, it was a ton of fun.
Okay, give me a story from that Tallahassee trip that you'll always remember. Something that maybe the public doesn't know. What one of those special moments as a team that you guys had, or something you'll always look back on 30 years from now, and your running career is over, potentially. I don't know, but something that you'll kind of look back and go, "God, that was so funny," or "That was so special.
Yeah, no, there it was. It was just it was a fun trip. I know when we traveled in, there was just one song that for some reason just kept coming up when we were playing music in the vans.
Okay.
And it was like the "Ooh, baby, I love your way" or whatever. And that one just became like none of us liked that song at all, really. But it just kind of became like the anthem of the trip for whatever reason. And I think that's probably the
Okay.
most like distinct memory that comes to mind is a group of like 8 or 9 guys belting that out in a van, and poor coach sitting up there driving and just shaking his head and like, "Oh, why am I here with these guys?" But oh, this, yeah. So I don't know. That's kind of the first thing that comes to mind. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's cool. What was your victory meal after that? Where'd you guys go?
I think we just got some catered in at the hotel, kind of just in the lobby. I think we all picked out there, and that was also fun because like all our families were there, and had coach and the athletic director and school president was all there. So it was a lot of fun. Everyone, we just couldn't stop talking about the race, and yeah.
School, the big chief was there too. Wow.
Yeah. We
Yeah, you
Dort's,
guys.
we're pretty fortunate at Dort. Obviously the president, athletic director, they care about the sports and care about cross country, and I mean that's pretty meaningful. And having good support makes a big difference, and are definitely thankful for that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to have them show up for that. Well, you're the, I mean, you guys are the trailblazers here. First Dort team to ever win a team title. Does that sink in every once in a while? Like, man, we were the first team to do it. First team
That's
to win
something
any
that
title.
it's something that they can't take away from us. But I know
No.
this past season the women's basketball team also they won the second national championship
Second.
for Dort, the basketball team. So but yeah, I mean just unreal to be the first Dort team to do it. I mean definitely a little bit surreal, and definitely the highlight of my college career.
I would say so, yeah. So, congratulations, ladies. But you're second to do it, right? So.
Second's not first. You ain't first, you're last.
Yeah. I hope you didn't say that Saturday after you got done.
Nope.
It's okay. I hope that wasn't the case. So, your career ended at Dort, and then, like you said, you had kind of a fraught. Injuries there toward the end with the hamstring. So now you're grinding out. What kind of mileage are you doing right now with your workouts, trying to get ready for or these 10Ks, maybe half marathon?
Yeah, so I've been kind of sitting at anywhere between probably like 87 to 95 miles a week. I've been there for quite a while. I think I've probably got up to 90 sometime in December, and just kind of have held it there. I found for whatever reason, high mileage tends to keep me healthier. Except obviously when you throw in a 24-hour car ride. But that excluded, for whatever reason, high mileage seems to work really well for my body, and it's just, yeah, I respond well to it. And I know in the future, I'm not quite ready to do marathoning yet, but in a couple of years here, I really do want to try and be competitive in the marathon and see what I can do there. So it's kind of with that in mind that I'm trying to do more higher mileage focused training now.
See if you can handle it, and then keep building a little bit more onto that.
Yep,
Will
just trying
we
to get that cardiovascular system ready to go for the big stuff later on.
Will we see you? Hopefully we'll see you at the 10,000 on the Blue Oval, but will we see you potentially in October at IMT, Des Moines Half Marathon? Then?
We'll see. If I do it, I'd probably do the half marathon. Once again, I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants on the schedule side of things. So I kind of decide my race is a few weeks out and figure out what I want to do. I got a long list of all the races I could find in the area for the next like half year, and I kind of use that to guide what direction I want to steer my training and what ones I want to go after. So I would say there's a decent chance I might show up at that half marathon.
Are you finding competition kind of tough in Northwest Iowa? Is that you have to go eastward?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously there's some real good Dort guys. Don't really race them too often, but I think the Northwest Iowa scene is going to continue to grow pretty quickly here. I know Joe Anderson, he's had an injury for the past year too that he's finally coming back from, and he's going to be a absolute force on the club scene soon. And I know guys like Garrett Ehlers in Sioux City, he's a great runner and assistant coach at Morningside. So we're trying to boost up the competition here in Northwest Iowa. I think we'll get there.
Okay. Well, I hope Joe gets back to health here so he can get back to racing and not just going hunting every weekend.
Yeah, you bet.
I know he's a big hunter. I know he's a big hunter there. So what was kind of your tell the listeners what was your best workout going into this 8K that you had last weekend? What was kind of the workout that you really targeted this race for?
Mm-hmm. So with my training, this is going to be a disappointing answer. I'm sorry, but my training doesn't have, too many, I guess, hero workouts. I kind of stick to some bread and butter stuff. So I do a lot of like threshold runs during the week, and then I'll close out the week on Saturday with a harder track session. So I've been kind of bouncing between doing like 6x1,000 with a couple 200s at the end faster. And I've also been doing like around, I don't know, 16 to 18 by 400 with like a minute rest or something like that. Couple like 4x1 mile or something type work too. I think the thing that started, the realization I'm pretty fit started happening soon when I started doing, I did a 18 by 400 workout where I was probably averaging 68 to 67 and doing that all 45 seconds rest. And then I closed I think a 16th rep of like 64 and then a 18th rep of, I think like it was 60 flat or something, or 60 flat or 62 or something in there. So that's when I was like, yeah, okay, I think I'm fit. I think I'm ready to get out and go racing.
I remember those days of running 18 quarters. Yeah. Not quite that fast, but yeah, I remember those days a long, long time ago. Yeah.
So it's a great bread and butter strength workout.
Yeah, I'm glad you can still do that. Yeah, still do it at a high level. So, I guess now that we're kind of introducing you to people here in Iowa, because they're probably, the runners are probably seeing his results come up in my blog or listening to this or seeing your name. What other interests do you have then, Eric? What do you like outside of running? have that hour every day that you have.
You joke about that hour, but that's just about all I've got.
I'm sorry, I'm using it up much for today, by the way.
No, it's all good. Yeah, my hobby's going on podcasts. No, my hobby is running, and it's terrible. Mm-hmm. I'm totally suckered in, and I'm obsessed maybe isn't the right word, but if you look down which time I spend thinking about running and actually doing running, it's kind of an inordinate amount. But I know outside of running, like in the summers, mountaineering is what I'd call my hobby. So going out to Colorado, climb mountains, and Washington, obviously, we've got great mountains to go climb there. So, not something I can do, daily, but, kind of a treat once in a while. That's different from running, similar, but different.
So is St. Helens kind of the big one out there in Washington state?
Yeah, so that's one of the five stratovolcanoes in Washington. The one that's kind of in, quote-unquote, my backyard, not really, it's like an hour and a half away, is Mount Baker.
That's cool. Yeah.
Mount St. Helens, after it erupted, obviously isn't too big of a climb anymore. It's a lot shorter when you take off the top couple thousand feet. But the biggest one is Mount Rainier, and that's outside Seattle. I haven't climbed that yet, but... that's one a lot of guys will use to train for Everest, just because it has, similar stuff you have to work through in terms of the glaciation and the technical aspects of climbing it.
Have you gotten to the top of that one then, Rainier?
Nope, I haven't done it. Haven't tried it. Haven't done it. So one day, my goal is to climb all five stratovolcanoes, but it's kind of hard to do when you live in Iowa. But
yeah, right.
It's kind of ironic. I didn't get into mountaineering until I actually left Washington for college. That's when I realized, like, oh, you know, the place that I used to live was actually pretty cool. And there's a lot of sweet stuff in the outdoors to go check out, but didn't really appreciate it till I lost it. So it's nice to be able to go back and to enjoy that once in a while when I visit family.
The Sioux Center topography just doesn't quite compare, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't scratch the itch.
No, it's, especially in northern Iowa, it's really too flat. Yeah, there's a lot nicer places. There's a lot nicer places in Iowa that have a lot more. Eastern Iowa, northeast Iowa, you got to go up there. Really, some nice hiking areas up there.
Yeah,
Iowa does have some nice places.
Northwest Iowa is probably about as bad as you can get for that. But this time, I mean, nice thing is like Colorado isn't so far away, so I'll probably go down there for a long weekend trip with some friends and climb some 14ers or something. So it's okay. There's ways to get out once in a while. It'll be okay.
what's your required gear then to do all that?
Oh boy. Depends. For the Washington mountains, if you are doing glacier travel, you've got to be harnessed up and have ropes and ice axes and the whole nine yards. A lot of stuff in Colorado, depending what time of the year you do it, depending on how much snowpack there is, you either can get away with some micro spikes, maybe you'll need crampons, but a lot of the stuff is pretty much like a glorified hike, so especially if you go later in the year.
Okay, there you go. So all right, we did learn something, see?
It's a very infrequent hike.
In Northwest Iowa, you only have about 4 months of good weather to really do it.
So. That's true.
The other eight are a little bit iffy. Let's just put it that way. So now that you're a full-fledged road racer now, is there kind of a bucket list race that you want to do someday?
Oh, man. I think the major marathons would be pretty cool. I wouldn't want to just do them just to do them. I'd want to do them and try and race them well and see what it is. But obviously like Chicago and Boston and New York and, obviously the ones overseas would be cool as well. But, those would probably be the towards the top.
Yeah. Watching Boston always gets your, juices flowing every year. Watching it's just fantastic every year. So,
yeah. No, I had some friends do it this year, and it looked like they had a lot of fun. So I sure wouldn't mind going and doing that with some other friends as well. So,
yeah, I was lucky to do it four times, and
had a
blast. Had a blast every time. So it's definitely one that, that you should target eventually down the road. What do you think is your top-end potential if you're going to – gravitate to the marathon here?
Oh boy, that's dangerous to speculate. I guess the way it phrases, depending on if US is still doing that doesn't switch this selection or something, but I would like to aim and make the for the Olympic trials, qualifying for that for the 2028 Olympics. I would like to think them in that two. I have potential in that 217, 218 range.
Nice.
Obviously, it's easy to guess what you can do. It's a lot harder to actually stick to your word and go do it.
Yeah. No, I think given your pedigree and what you've done, I think that's a great target goal for sure. Yeah, I don't. As you probably have been told many times, maybe by Coach Wolf, don't undersell yourself, right?
Yep, I can credit a whole lot to him.
Does he have any Wolfisms that you guys all joke about? Does he have some sayings?
I don't know. He's a pretty even keeled guy. I probably can't poke fun at him too much.
I've never interviewed him, so I don't know what kind of personality he is.
Yeah, I mean he's really well spoken. He's smart and yeah, super nice guy. He's a guy that will paint a picture that you'll want to follow. So.
So no secret with the success that the program's having that he's doing.
There's no cheap, easy way to do it. So he is great. I can't think of any good quirks of his, but I know he's got them. Just can't think of them.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if he had some sort of a line, you know, when he was recruiting you or.
He's a pretty honest, straightforward guy. So.
Outside of you guys and Wartburg, I mean, you guys are probably on, you know, all the small colleges, you guys really, you know, are the two programs that just consistently year after year jump out.
Mm-hmm. I think we punch above our weight class. And once again, got to credit that to Wolf. Just school in general, it comes from a culture and it really builds on itself. And I mean, guys come and get recruited and see what we have and how much we enjoy each other. And it's easy to see why you'd want to join a program like that. Obviously it's not a fit for everyone, but yeah, it's a great program to be part of.
Yeah. Culture is everything. And both programs have it in spades. That's for sure. Well, mm-hmm. Eric, this has been a lot of fun. This has been entertaining. Enjoyed the hour. Hope you get into Drake 10K. I'd love to see you on the track. Take a shot at that distance.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll do the right thing and let you in.
Well, I appreciate it. I hope so too. Thanks for the, I feel like this is the official welcome into the Iowa road racing community. So I appreciate it, Lance. Thanks for having me on here.
Well, yeah, I thought, let's introduce everybody to Eric and the big tall guy who's running well and winning races here. So figure out who he is, what makes him tick. And apparently it's distance running and hiking.
Yep, pretty much it.
Okay. Well, have a good evening, Eric. And, good luck with the racing season the rest of the spring and summer.
All right. Thanks, Lance. Appreciate it a lot. Have a good one.
As Eric said, he is now an adopted Iowan. And, well, based on last weekend's results, I'm excited to see what this, quote, Iowan will do in more road races and track events in the coming years. Anybody who can hold off a guy like Austin O'Brien in a race has got a lot of talent, a lot of ability, and it's going to be exciting to see some of the results he has in the coming years.